Hello, this is the Love Letter Squad. I'm Teresa Ayers.
And I'm Janet Gallen, and we welcome you to today's show, Love Letters Live. And every show, I think, is interesting, and every story is interesting. Today's is a little bit different. But before we go to our guest, I just want to remind you all that we are about love letters, and love letters can be to anyone at any time for any reason, not just romantic. We've had love letters to businesses. We've had people write love letters to themselves. We've had people. The point is, if you're writing the love letter, you're the boss. You get to do whatever you want. And don't hesitate and don't be shy. Put what you feel on paper, mail it, stamp it, and make somebody else's life richer. Today, our guest is Robert Lyon from the Lyon Ranch, and that's actually L-Y-O-N. And Robert, I'm going to go right to you and ask you to tell us first about you and how you came to this, or any part of your life that you think we'd be interested in hearing about that's challenging or surprising.
Well, I don't want to get into my particular life too much, but okay. I was born in Atlanta, Georgia. I only lived there a couple of years, moved to Detroit, Michigan, and from there to... I moved to Buffalo, New York first, then to Detroit, Michigan. And once I finished school, I went to Bowling Green State University in Bowling Green, Ohio. Once I finished school, I joined the Navy and was a pilot off aircraft carriers for the Navy. I did fly in Vietnam. And then I joined the airlines in 1967 and flew for first Western Airlines and then Delta Airlines.
Oh, so you're a pilot by profession.
I am a pilot, yes.
Oh, okay. So how did you come to this? Go ahead.
Well, I met my wife in Calgary, Canada, and we were on a layover, actually, in Sacramento, California, and she said, if I fix a picnic lunch and you rent a car, let's go have a lunch.
Was she also working for the...
She was an airline. She was a flight attendant for Western Airlines. We met in Calgary, but we were dating for quite a while, and this was on a layover in Sacramento. Mm-hmm.
That's fairly common, isn't it, for pilots and flight attendants to hook up?
It does happen frequently. We've been married now since 1982, so we've been married 28 years. But anyway, we rented a car, and she fixed the picnic lunch, and we drove to Sonoma, California from Sacramento. So it was about an hour and a half drive, and I kept thinking, where are we going? What are we doing? You know, what's going on?
Did she have an idea that she wanted to...
Well, she, unbeknownst to me, she owned 11 acres of property in Sonoma, California.
Oh.
And so we're actually on this property having lunch overlooking San Pablo Bay and Napa, California, and so on, and... Finally, I said to her, you know, is it okay if we're here? She says, of course, it's okay. So
you knew it was private property somehow?
Yes, I knew it was definitely private property. And I said, well, how do you know it's okay that we live here, you know, that we can be here? And she said, well, it's my property.
Uh-huh.
I said, oh, do you want to marry me? She said, yes, I do.
Really?
That's exactly
true story?
What happened. That's how we ended up.
How long had you known her?
I had known her. I met her in April, and we got married December 31st.
Wow.
That
That's
in itself
great.
Is a story because I told her...
I'd like to hear that.
I'm not a person that just wants to live with somebody. If you want to commit with me and have a marriage, I would love to do that.
Oh, good. Say that out loud again. Just say that. It's so nice to hear a man say that.
I didn't want to live with someone. I wanted a commitment of marriage, which I was willing to give.
Yes, that's the point, isn't it?
That's the point.
Yes.
And so I told her, if you didn't marry me by December 31st, I had another date for... Super Bowl Sunday. So we got married December 31st.
And that guaranteed you a date for New Year's Eve.
It sure did, the rest of my life.
That is so nice. So tell us what the ranch is or how you came to have it, in which order you like.
Well, we actually were living in Salt Lake City at the time, but Robin owned this property, and it was always her dream to have a number of animals on the property and... rescue animals and just enjoy animals, really. Mm-hmm. Well, her mom suffered dementia, and so we started taking animals to visit her mom. And we'd take a cat or a dog.
Oh.
And while we were there, someone would say to us, may we hold your cat or may we pet your dog?
Oh.
And we began to realize there was a need for this. Mm-hmm. There was a definite value in it. And so it sort of escalated from there. In 2000, she said, I'm going to get a camel. This started in 1997.
Oh, is that the camel you have now?
No.
That beautiful animal?
That's the one that passed away.
Oh, that's right. Okay, tell us about the camel.
Well, in 2000, she says she wanted to get a camel. I said, no, there's no way we're going to get a camel. Why would anyone want a camel? You can't use it in a pet therapy program. You know, it's not going to work. She says, no, Cornell University used a camel in their in a program for taking into nursing homes and hospitals and convalescent centers and so on, and it was somewhat successful. And she said, if they can do it, I can do it. And I said, well...
So that was the goal, to take these animals actually, as therapy animals.
Yes. That started, as I say, in 97, but as we went along, we got more and more animals, and we were taking birds and cats and dogs, and then she decided to get this camel.
I didn't realize that's how you did it. So you take your animals out.
Normally, the way we started this, we would take our animals to a nursing home, a convalescent center, a senior citizen center, and mm-hmm. so on. It has progressed to where we now have made our entire home wheelchair accessible, exterior and interior.
So you welcome people to the ranch for therapy purposes.
Yes, so now facilities will visit us by the busload.
Oh.
Anywhere, we've had as few as 3 people and up to 50 people.
I see.
One person showed up, one facility showed up in a Greyhound-type bus, which our road didn't handle very well, but we had 70-some people. So we, our goal was to bring some enjoyment and some pleasure in life to the ill and the elderly. Our function on paper is we rescue animals and train them to go into nursing homes and hospitals. Our number two function is to give respite to those in nursing homes and hospitals just for a few minutes, take their mind off their problems.
Mm-hmm.
And
that was... that was Robin's goal right away?
That was Robin's goal from day one. Once her initial goal was to have a bunch of animals. She went to California State University in Davis,
mm-hmm.
and she took animal husbandry, and she was very good at it.
Okay, so
very
this was goal-oriented. This wasn't some surprise out of the blue that you found yourself with.
The big surprise was how much it meant to people.
Yes.
Her goal, I think, originally was just animals and working with animals. But once we saw how much it meant to take an animal into a nursing home or a hospital,
sure,
it became very, very evident that this is what we were going to do.
Robin told me on the phone when we spoke about the camel, the first one and the second one. Do you know this? Obviously, you'd know the same story. Can you tell it to us?
Yes. As I started to say, in 2000, she decided she's going to get a camel. And I said, no way we're going to get a camel. Son of a gun, she said, look, I'm going to drive to Salt Lake City. This camel was born in Casper, Wyoming, and they're going to meet me in Salt Lake City, and I'm going to pick up a camel. And I just kind of chuckled, thinking, sure, she's going to drive a truck.
Can I ask a question at this point? How did she know there was a camel in Wyoming? I mean, how does the community...
She went online
and
started looking for a camel. What happened was we went to a pageant, a Christmas pageant, in Vallejo, California. That's not correct. It's not Vallejo. It's somewhere else, but I'll think. Fairfield.
Mm-hmm.
In Fairfield, California. And there was a camel there named Spring. And it only had one eye. Someone had shot a slingshot and shot one eye out. But it was just the sweetest animal. And Robin fell in love with his camel. So she went on the internet, started looking for camels. Son of a gun, she found this camel in Casper, Wyoming. And so she said, you know, I'm going to go get it. And I said, no, okay, I'll go with you. So I finally, she coerced me enough that I went with her. And sure enough, we met these people in Salt Lake City. The camel's name was Cassie. We named her Cassie. That's a story in and of itself. She was named after Attila Caslin, who was the consulate general to Turkey, who lived in Sonoma. And Attila Caslin was killed in a motorcycle accident.
Mm.
And so we asked his wife, Bonnie, if she would mind if we named the camel after her husband. She said, oh, of course not. So that's how Cassie got her name. Anyway, we went to Salt Lake City and picked up Cassie. She was only 3 days old, just over 100 pounds.
Wow.
And stood maybe 3.5 feet tall. Her humps were no larger than an inch high, and they were about at my waist. And I still wasn't real enthusiastic about this camel until I saw her, and I just fell in love with her.
I can imagine.
So Robin, we headed home, and Robin would bottle feed the camel 3 times, 4 or 5 times a day.
You had a truck in which
we
you took
a trailer,
this?
A horse trailer, which
yes.
we put her in. and pulled by a truck, small truck.
Pickup. How did she take to her new home?
Well, she took to us immediately. If you're feeding the animal, they take to you right away. Well, this camel just fell in love with me, and I did with it, and we bonded so strongly. Well, initially, I didn't really want to have anything to do with it. And we stopped at a truck stop on the way home, and Robin at this point had been feeding the camel several times a day. This was only the second day. And she decided to go into the ladies' room and clean up, and she just stayed in there. Well, what she wanted me to do was interact with the camel.
Oh, isn't she smart?
Which I didn't know. So I took the camel and started walking around to all the different truckers and say, hey, hi, look at my camel. How do you like my camel? By the time she got out, it was my camel.
And so she spent her life with you.
Cassie spent her life with us.
How long was that?
She lived 9 years. She got an infection. She had a tooth growing into her nasal cavity.
Oh.
She died way, way before she should have.
Yeah, how long do camels generally live if they're staying healthy?
Camels generally should live between 25, 35 years.
Mm-hmm.
An average would be 30 years.
Okay. That must have been hard for you.
Oh, my gosh. I think the most interesting part was we had absolutely no idea the effect of Cassie on people's lives. When Cassie died, we received literally thousands of emails, phone calls, letters, telephone calls. I mean, just thousands of people contacting us. And I think perhaps...
Have you kept those letters?
Oh, yes, kept the letters. And, of course, the phone calls are in our memory. And
yes.
I think for this particular show, since we're talking about love letters, mm-hmm. one of the most interesting things that happened was a man by the name of Robert Kroll called me. He lived in Vallejo, California. And he called me and said, you know, I just happened to be at the facility where my mother was when you showed up with your camel. He said, I had no idea you were going to be there or anything, but it was an Alzheimer's facility, and my mom really didn't recognize me or know me well. I would visit her, but she didn't really know who I was.
Mm-hmm.
And in interacting with your camel for about a half an hour, my mother turned to me and looked at me and said, oh, hi, son. How are you?
Oh, my Lord.
And he just was flabbergasted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here he hadn't had that recognition in quite some time. And he got to interact with his mom for over an hour with them both fully cognizant of who each other were.
How does that happen?
Wow.
And he was so distraught at our losing Cassie that he contacted me and said, I will either give you $100 a month the rest of my life, or I will share a new camel's expense with you 50-50.
Oh.
And I'd met the man, but I certainly didn't remember him. And I just couldn't believe it. But that's the type of reactions we've had from Cassie's passing away.
Now, the camel you have now...
His
camel
name is Humphrey.
I met, who mm-hmm. was just,
Humphrey.
You know, there's something about walking onto that property, and the first thing you see is this regal-looking camel who's just stretching over to say hello. It was astounding.
Yes, Humphrey will eat these little baby carrots out of people's mouths all day long.
So how did you come to have Humphrey? From babyhood?
Yes and no. Humphrey was in Lancaster, down by Los Angeles, and they people that owned him had a number of difficulties. Their home was destroyed in an earthquake, and they had some personal problems, and they called us. They must have located us on the internet and called us and said, would you like to have another camel? At this time, Cassie was 3 years old, and I thought, well, I really don't want another camel, but tell me the story. And they said, well, we just can't take care of it mm-hmm. anymore. It was only 6 weeks old and had never been trailered. And they asked me if I'd come down and take him.
So you ended up with two camels at once for
a
while.
So two camels for quite
a
long time.
So was Humphrey sad when Cassie
was? Oh, my gosh.
What happened there?
Let me finish the story about picking Humphrey up. But I drove down and actually got Humphrey to go in the trailer, and he bonded with me pretty quickly as well. And then we came home, and he was only 6 weeks old, and we got him in June. He was born in May. And by the July 4th parade, he was walking on a leash.
Mm-hmm.
So I walked him in the July 4th parade, and he has been just phenomenal ever since.
Are camels still being bottle-fed at 6 weeks?
They were bottle-fed till they were 8 months old. Excellent question. We had to bottle-feed both of them till they were 8 months old. And, of course, they bond with you pretty strongly if you're the mom. And so
which you were.
Which
since
I
you were
was.
The
kind of cute the way Humphrey got his name. Cassie was a Bactrian camel with two humps. And we had her for the 3 years. And then my son was home. In fact, my son who went to Iraq, he was now here. He was home, and he took one look at Humphrey, and he said, "Oh, that camel's one hump free."
Oh,
because the other camel had two humps, and Humphrey has only one.
That's great. How nice to know how those names come about.
Is it spelled Humphrey?
So it's Hump, H-U-M-P-F-R-E-E.
Oh, that's good to know.
Humphrey.
Yes. So tell us about your other animals, because I know you have a variety.
Well, we rescue animals, and then we train them to go into nursing homes and hospitals to visit the ill and the elderly.
I know you have some very cute
goats.
Well,
these are very tall animals, right?
Cassie weighed just under a ton.
Uh-huh.
Yet she would still walk into a hospital bedroom. Right into a hospital, walk down the hallway. If she didn't quite fit through the opening doorway, she would undulate and make it through the doorway. And then most hallways are much taller than the doors.
Uh-huh.
And she had no difficulty walking down the hallways.
That must be some sight.
The only thing we had to watch was that her humps didn't hit the sprinkler systems.
Oh, gosh.
Because many of these are commercial facilities and must have sprinkler systems. So we had to watch that. But we had some interesting stories.
Yeah.
I'd tell you a couple of interesting ones. We visited Sonoma Developmental Center. And that's where they have very severely impaired patients. And we visited there, and they had maybe 50, 55 people lined up in a semicircle outside their facility. It was a beautiful July day. And I took Cassie to each individual person. And as we went from person to person, Cassie kept returning to this one young girl. She was probably 17, 18 years old, severely impaired patient. She had her arms crossed on a wheelchair and kind of drooling and just a severely impaired patient. And Cassie just loved her. She'd nuzzle with her. You could see her eyes light up. You could see her respond. And as we went to the next person, Cassie would go back to this young lady. And this happened more than a dozen times, and there are only 55 people out there. And I was really just a little upset because she wasn't doing what I was asking her to do. So finally we finished visiting the facility. We were there 2-3 hours, and we went home, and we all felt great because of the different people's reactions. Well, the person in charge called us the next day and said, "We'd just like to thank you for coming. And, oh, by the way, that girl that your camel kept going back to so many times yesterday passed away last night."
Oh.
And so the camel
knew.
The camel sensed things that we don't begin to sense. And that was a real awakening for us that...
Wow.
These animals know a whole lot more than we realize.
Are you in touch, I don't know if you would have the time to do this, but are you in touch with any kind of research centers or places that would want to know this information?
No, we haven't been. Our thrust is so great in working with the...
But you keep track of it?
Yes, oh yes. Oh, we.
These results?
So many people have asked us to write a book, and I don't have time to write the book. But boy, some of the stories are just unbelievable.
But if you document these successes, maybe they'd come in really handy medically for someday for people.
They may. But it's been so well documented now, the relationship of animals with humans.
I know, but it's one more...
One more supporting evidence, sometimes.
I think that makes a difference. So I have a question to ask you, as we are about love letters, and I can see that there would be so many people in your life to whom you could send a letter of, I remember, or thank you, or, I mean, starting from Robin.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, who would, because I have a thought that's probably a little wiggy, but I'm going to say it anyway after you tell me who you would write a love letter to.
Well, of course, Robin. Now, this was all her idea from day one.
Have you ever written her love letters?
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Okay.
Because we make it a point to tell each other we love each other every single day. We realize life's very tenuous. I mean, we've had friends sitting on a motorcycle at a red light that got killed, doing absolutely nothing wrong.
Yeah.
And so we realize that there's no guarantee we'll even be here tomorrow. So we make a very conscious effort to... tell each other every day how much we love each other.
So I have somebody to ask you about that. Telling each other every day is wonderful. I mean, really important. On paper, it lasts forever in a different way. And we actually, there was an article in, I think, Newsweek magazine years ago, a man who had had a wonderful loving, romantic life with his wife, and they told each other every day, and he said, and she's gone now, and I have nothing in her handwriting.
Oh, that's a very
And he was
thing.
Lamenting this, that even though he wanted, now that she's gone, he wanted to be able to pick something up and read it again and again, that I love you in his in her handwriting.
Well, we do have those.
Okay, good.
Everything I've ever written to her over the 28 years we've been married, she has saved.
Okay.
So that's she's wonderful. Got a box full of things, but and I have a box full of cards and things that she sent to me and letters that she wrote to me while we were dating and deciding to get married and so on. But every now and then, I will just sit down and write a letter and just to remind her that I'm totally aware of how lucky I am and what kind of life we've lived.
You're an angel of a man. That's so nice. I wish it were TV because then everybody could see what a good-looking angel of a man. My goodness. Well, Robin's gorgeous also.
She's a beautiful
yes,
woman.
Yes, she is gorgeous. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. So I have an odd question, only because I tend to deal sometimes in fantasy land. Ever write love letters to the animals?
No, I haven't put it in writing. I have not done that, and that might be something to do, you know.
I think, I mean, I personally think that would be so wonderful. Like, one to Cassie.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Saying, you know, I'm writing this to you because I just want to remember myself what you were. And then kind of recounting her history and that story about the woman who didn't know her son until Cassie came, and then she recognized her son.
Right.
That's close to a miracle of some sort.
Oh, I've had several of those with her.
Well,
Cassie.
Wouldn't that be nice to have that documented and
yes.
stuck in your own archives somewhere?
Yes.
You would. Know, love,
even though it's
Robert.
A letter to Cassie, it's something that we could recount.
Exactly. Yeah. And not only that, your son and your grandchildren, if you have them.
Oh, yes.
Do you have grandchildren
yes.
already?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And their children, letters last forever.
Yes.
We have letters in our histories that are, what, 400 years old, and they're good as new. Well, older than that.
Older than that, yeah.
Other countries that are older than that.
Sure.
Things signed by kings and queens, and it will be part of your family history forever. And how wonderful for the children who will never know you personally to
yes,
know you through a trail of letters that you leave.
Yes, that'd be wonderful.
That's a
very
Humphrey,
good idea. My grandchildren are actually in Texas, and I very seldom get to see them. And that would be a wonderful thing to do.
Oh, Dear Cassie, I'm writing this to you, but I'm going to send it to my grandchildren in Texas.
Yes, exactly.
Something like that. And I think Humphrey deserves a letter, personally.
He does.
That miracle of an insight to pay attention to that girl who was
yes,
about yeah. to die.
Right. So it's
what a wonderful history.
Oh, it's been amazing. Just an amazing ride. We became a nonprofit in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
We were set up by some wonderful people.
So tell us your website and where people could send a donation if they wanted to, or is that just on your website? You want to do that?
It's on the website, but our website is Lion Ranch.
LYONRANCH.
www.lionranch.org.
Okay, .org, that's important. Okay.
And that tells you, the website will tell you quite a bit about us and what
yes.
we do. As I say, we've been doing this now since 97, and we've become a... became a nonprofit in 2003.
And you've got goats.
We have
and you've got
goats
cats.
And donkeys
you've got,
and horses and dogs and cats. We've got 17 cats and so many dogs.
And you said birds.
Lots of birds, lots of parrots.
You have, but
about 40 birds.
Parrots stay in the house?
No, we have two in the house right now because they're babies.
Mm-hmm.
And we're training them to go into nursing homes.
But where do the others live?
They live outdoors. And they can stay outdoors without any problem.
That's
they're
what I'm asking.
In an aviary outdoors.
Oh, they are. Okay.
But... and they can take weather down to about freezing. If it gets to freezing, which it does occasionally in summer,
you take them in?
We take them in. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes. And so as far as you're taking animals out, obviously, I shouldn't say obviously because assume nothing in life, but you can take animals to homes and facilities within a certain distance.
Well, we've gone all the way down to Lompoc, which is down by Los Angeles. We took a 7-day trip to Lompoc.
Oh, you did? Okay. But as far as other people, I mean, nationwide, people could come to you if they wanted, right?
Yes, especially facilities that local facilities now are coming up by the busload.
Mm-hmm.
And something we do that we don't discuss a great deal, but we do hospice situations. We've done a great deal of them, great number of them. The only children's hospice facility in the United States is in San Leandro. And it's called George Mark's Home. And that's all they do. They do hospice.
They come to you or you go to them?
They call us and say, you know.
Come.
We have a, yes, and you have to go then.
Mm-hmm. Sure, of course.
So that's a last-minute call thing that I try and do every time they call me.
So do you take a variety of animals? I mean, what kind of a truck or vehicle do you have?
The vehicle we have is a special-made trailer that's an 8-foot trailer, which would take the camel. But if we go to a facility or even a hospice situation, we generally just take one or two animals. But if we go to a facility, we try and take 6 or 8 animals. And we'll take a miniature horse, of course, the camel, which is the big hit,
really?
2 or 3 birds, a couple cats. We have serval cats. Well, they're part serval. They're savanna cats. So we take cats, birds, miniature horse. Yesterday we took a goat and a camel.
So obviously this is a very full-time thing. I mean, feeding and caring for and veterinarian duties and... Sure, this is running a ranch. Yeah,
it's kind of cute because it's a 7-day-a-week job, and animals don't care if you're sick.
Right.
You know, you still have to get up and feed animals, no matter how sick you are.
Yes.
So sometimes
you have help.
No,
at
my
the
wife
ranch?
And I do it all.
Really?
My wife and I. My daughter was home. She now is at a zoo in Wisconsin. She worked at Marine World on stage with the animals, so she's an animal person.
What did she do? Oh, I mean, having them perform, is that?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. She was on stage with the animals at Marine World.
This is wonderful to hear all about this. Thank you so much for doing this with us. I have one other question.
Sure.
Is this, as you look back in your life, is this a huge surprise that you ended up in this world and doing, or did you always have that ability to want to make the world a better place and help people?
That's a true statement, but the way we are doing it is solely due to my wife's foresight.
Which is a true statement, that it's a surprise to you, or you
total
always had that?
Surprise to me.
Because you seem to have taken to making the world better so easily.
She sure got me into it.
Oh,
she
good.
Says you got hooked pretty quickly. It started really when I was a pilot, 35 years old, and I was having my FAA physical, which you had to do twice a year.
So you had no idea you were headed in this direction?
None whatsoever. And the doctor said, what are you going to do when you're 60 years old? I said, that's 25 years away. He says, you better decide. He said, because pilots wake up the day they quit flying, have their cup of coffee, read the newspaper. What do I do now?
Right. Oh, good for you.
Well, that's a good lesson for all of us to be thinking ahead. What are we going to do?
Thank you so much for telling about the ranch
you
and Robin.
Thanks.
And I'm glad your son is home.
Right.
Thank you.
So, again, thank you. And thanks to all of our listeners for joining us. We hope you'll be with us here every time at This Week. And in the meantime, we like to remind you to and encourage you to put your loving sentiments and thoughts into words, write them down, stamp them, and mail them while you still have the chance.
Yes, and if you think you have to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, remember that writing a love letter is a special occasion, and you can write love letters to any creature in your life, living or gone.
Four-legged or two-legged or whatever.
Yes, anyone at all.
So till next week, this is Teresa
and Janet
saying bye-bye.